when we have a meal, at a bread meal. 2 days ago, we learned the halacha. So what happens? So before you begin a bread meal, you're supposed to first examine yourself to determine if you need to go to the Beis HaKisei before you wash, because it's not proper to need to go to the Beis HaKisei in the middle of a bread meal between the bracha of Netilas of Hamotzi Lachem Min Haaretz and Birchas Hamazon. It is not a good thing to go to the Beis HaKisei for various reasons. Either al derech pshat, you're getting your hands dirty, you're putting yourself in an environment that's not clean, al pi kabbalah. So you're supposed to examine yourself before you sit down to wash and ask yourself, will I need to go to the Beis HaKisei in the middle of this meal? And if the answer is yes, then go to the Beis HaKisei before. If you do that, you're in trouble. Because when you wash your hands, you have an obligation to recite Netilas Yodayim, you have an obligation to recite Asher Yotzar, and you have an obligation to recite Netilas Yodayim. That's a very interesting halachic dilemma. We presented, I think, 5 different solutions. None of them are perfect. And the Mishnah says, in a nutshell, you should wash Asher Yotzar like you do regularly with a kois 3 times, b'seirugin, and then you should touch a part of your body that's normally covered, and then you wash Netilas Yodayim. And then the gross is different from Chul Na'na. Then yesterday we discussed the laws of making a shahakoil on a beverage in the middle of a meal, and all of it's related in Yonim. Today let us discuss, what do you do when the meal is over? Mayim Acharoinim. Now, there's a very common mistake that Mayim Acharoinim is only done on Shabbos. It does not say that anywhere b'chol hasherei kulo. There's no difference Mayim Acharoinim, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Pesach, Rosh Chodesh, today, President's Day, Thanksgiving, on a Sunday afternoon. Mayim Acharoinim is a halacha that applies to every single bread meal, regardless of the calendar day. Doesn't make a difference. There's no such thing in the world. You only have Mayim Acharoinim on Shabbos. Doesn't exist such halacha. I challenge you to find me somewhere where it said, where there's such a statement like that is made.
Benching by yourself,
you're saying you touched upon that, is that does say, you say something very, very good. So what would you think? What would you think if you bench by yourself versus benching with a mezumin? Which one would you think has more of an obligation to wash mayim acharoinim? So you touched upon something very, very interesting, and the truth is, there are opinions. If you bench by yourself, then you better wash mayim acharoinim. If you bench with a mezumon, then you don't have to wash mayim acharoinim. Why is that so? Okay, we have to disclose. Let's hold off on that for a moment. Okay.
A minion, definitely.
A minion, it'd be less of a reason to wash mayim acharoinim. We'll come to that in a few moments. Okay, but let's discuss mayim acharoinim. If you wash all the time. If you don't wash, you never wash. There are 2 reasons cited in the Paiskim as to why one should wash lechatchila mayim acharoinim. Number 1, melach sedoimis. What is melach sedoimis? Salt that comes from Sedom. Lot's wife, atihi nitziv melach. Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. That salt is poisonous. What is the unique poison of that salt? If it gets into your eyes, it can cause blindness. It's unique only to the salt that's found in Sedom. This property is not true. There's no danger when it comes to salt, other types of salt. Now today, do we have amongst ourselves melach sedomis? In America? No, not really. Have we ever heard of melach sedomis? Do we even know where melach sedomis does even exist? Do we even know where Sedom is? Do we know where Sedom is today? The Yam HaMelech? Okay, the Yam HaMelech, we know the Yam HaMelech is. Is that the salt we're referring to? Possibly the salt of the Yam HaMelech is Melech Sedomis. That's also a question. Maybe it's only the salt of Sedom. Fatihin Nitziv Melech. What's in the Yam HaMelech? Maybe that's a secondary salt that comes from Sedom, but it's not the primary salt. All of this, no one really knows. But in any event, there's something called melach sedomis, which is a lethal danger. It used to be common in time of Chazal. People would dip their bread, it was delicious, this melach sedomis, would dip their bread in melach sedomis, and therefore that might be a residue on your fingers, And by the way, very important principle, before you even begin this halacha, you have to understand that in ancient times, they did not use a fork and knife. In ancient times, people ate with their bare hands. Okay? There was no such thing as utensils.
It's not ancient times, it's relatively okay? recent.
And therefore, when you ate food, you touched the food. If you touch the food, you touch the bread, you dip the bread into Melech Sodomis, and there's a residue of Melech Sodomis on your eyes, you may come to touch your eyes, and Rachmana Litzlan, that can cause blindness. Chazal are acting here as doctors. It's not a religious matter. It's purely Chazal did not want people to be blind. So they intervened. There's a whole interesting concept is that not everything in Chazal is religion. Chazal took it upon themselves to institute takanas for the benefit of society. There are religious matters, and then there are matters of just public service matters, community service matters. Chazal view themselves as there's an authority to help people in business, to help them in health, and in halacha, in yirah shamayim. Not everything is purely a religious matter. There are things that are just not good for your health. It's dangerous to go and dip bread in salt and not wash your hands afterwards because you may touch your eyes during the day and go blind. So therefore they were misakin that you must wash your hands when the meal is over before you bench. Now, if that would be correct, yes, what's your question?
I was in Yom HaMelech. Somebody is going to open his eyes in the Yom, he's going to be blind.
Exactly. It's dangerous. Sakonis nefash is to open your eyes to Yom HaMelech. So this is a danger.
So this Melech...
We have... One vowel, one valley.
One valley.
Okay, so this is you could ask questions.
So
next, you have to wait to find the next question.
The technology or culture changes.
Therefore, because of this reason, there are many, I think even the Ramah says, Bizman has said you don't have to wash Mayim Acharim. Because Melach Sidoimis is not Motsui, it's not found among us today. So there's nothing to worry about. The Kesef Mishnah is something fascinating. He says that in Eretz Yisrael you have to wash Mayim Achrayinim, but not in Chutz Li'aretz. Because Eretz Yisrael, you're near Sodom. It's somewhere near, so therefore there's a real possibility that you will come in contact with Melach Sodomis. But in Chutz Li'aretz, the chances of coming in contact with Melach Sodomis is very, very rare. So in Chutz Li'aretz, you don't need to wash Mayim Achron, only in Eretz Yisrael where there is a chance you may come in contact with the Melach Sedomis. Now, there's another reason. Now, the Rambam says, no, you do have to wash Mayim Achron because of Melach Sedomis. And the Rambam says, today it's very common. You go into the bakery, ask them, what are the ingredients they put in bread? They put in bread and challah salt. It's one of the ingredients. So even if you do not dip your bread in salt, the fact that salt is added as one of the ingredients into bread, we are concerned, you never know, maybe one granule of that salt may be from Sodom. Even though we think all the salt today is only from diamond salt, this salt, that salt, all comes from, who knows where it comes from, you never know. One granule of salt may come from Melach Sodomis, it got mixed in by accident, and if the bread has an ingredient of salt inside, you have to be concerned, and you have to wash your hands, even though today it's not common. You never know, it may find its way into your bread, into your food, and you have to wash your hands. Assuming, of course, you're actually going to touch the food.
Okay. Melach Sodom may be a total chemical, a different chemical mixture.
Could be, it could very well be, and we don't really know what it is altogether. This is reason number one. Now, there's a very big nafkamina for this. In addition to the fact that today it's not found amongst us, this whole issue is only also true if you actually touch the food. Being that today it is common that we do not touch food, we use utensils, and we don't touch food, and many people who are very disciplined will not touch food the entire meal. They don't touch the food. Everything is with a fork and knife. There are people who eat pizza with a fork and knife, right? Yeah, that the Dwazi with a fork and knife. Okay, good luck to him. So it's not so true. It's not so true. But this is something very interesting. I'm about to tell you now. Women, do women wash mayim achroinim? You will find that even in very homes of very meticulous religious people, where the men wash mayim achroinim, it's extremely rare to find a woman washing mayim achreinim. Why not? Melach sedomis. A danger is a danger. They're no less immune to danger than men. So the answer given is that men are, they're not so disciplined. Men, even though you have put in front of them a fork and a knife, do they always use, when no one's watching, when no one's watching, so you lick your fingers, you go, you touch. Women, the derech klal, generally, are very proper. They're very careful. They're disciplined. They don't use their fingers. They use a fork. So women, more so than men, don't touch the food. Therefore, women are not shaykh to the whole concern of touching the food, which may have a particle of melech sedomis, which is lethal, and they may come to touch their eyes. Men, listen, we all know that men touch the food. So men can't make believe that we didn't touch, just because the fork and knife on the table, they didn't touch the food. But women take it seriously. They actually set it up. Now you could ask a married guy who's been married for 50 years, tell me, set up the table. On which side do you put the fork and on which side do you put the knife? They can be married for 50 years. They have no clue.
What are you talking about?
What?
No, I always...
I'm not going to embarrass the people in this room who come, whose wife has set up for them, has set the table for them for 50 years, has put the plate, put the fork and the knife in a very precise location, and they don't know where, on which side is the fork, which side. Where have you been? Your wife has done this. She's gone through the effort of doing this for 50 years, and you're telling me you don't know, you have never paid attention? It just goes to show, right?
Which way do you place the knife?
Exactly. But a woman who does this all the time, and she knows they take this very seriously. It's a whole, and they know what. And also, if a fork is missing, you'll hear about it. I'm missing a fork. I'm missing a knife. Where did you take it to? Which bedroom? Where did you hide it? And what it's made out of? You men, he knows. Is it stainless steel? Is it silver? Is it this silver? You have nothing. I don't even know what it looks like. A woman, she knows how much it costs, where she got it, and this said and that said, v'chulu, v'chulu. Because they take it very seriously. That's the nature of a woman, and they actually use it. And they use it, don't touch. They don't touch the food. Don't touch the food. Therefore, she doesn't touch the food. She doesn't have to wash. Mayim achreinim.
Rabbi Franz said that generally, because they're in the kitchen, sometimes back and forth, and they're running their hands under
the faucet
during the meal.
Right, part of that also adds to the equation. They're always washing their hands, so therefore, it's not nogea then. However, now this is the basic gist, melach sedomis, and it's not shaykh today. It's not common. Therefore, we can be lenient, and we can be lenient. And the Rambam also, we use utensils, so therefore, it's another reason why we can be lenient. However, the Rambam says, don't be so lenient because who knows, you may have melach sedomis, chamira sakanta yosa neisura, and you touch the food, the bread has salt inside of it, so therefore, halacha l'maisa is a nice thing to be machmir. What? What if you don't wash? What do you say?
If you don't make a motzi, if you're just eating a meal.
If you don't make hamotzi, definitely not. You don't have to wash shmayim achronim. There's no inyan whatsoever to wash shmayim achronim for an al hamichya or a bari nefash. It's only for bread. Because the bread, typically, it used to be in the olden days, you would dip the bread in salt. And then the Rambam says, we no longer dip bread in salt, but we add salt as an ingredient into bread. So the salt in the bread. So you'll tell me about today in your macaroni, in your whatever they're serving downstairs for lunch in Chapanash, how much salt they put into whatever. Yeah. What?
You cannot eat so salty.
You can't eat so salty, but a little salt. They cheat a little bit. They cheat a little bit, right? They put a small amount of salt into the schnitzel or into the chicken. They're adding a small, so you'll ask me, so they're putting in salt. The meat is salted, kosher. Right. So you ask a very good question. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer, but the Rambam says it only applies to bread, a bread meal. Does not apply. Halacha l'mayis, we're very lean. Most people skip. Most people, they're not so makbar on this. If it happens to be this, a mayim acharim on the table, no, so you'll wash my macharim. Really, do you see, because the Rambam says, b'ikar adin Ramos says, you don't have to be makbar b'zman hazeh. However, the Rambam says, you never know. It might be a drop, a particle of salt mixed into the food. But even the Rambam is only machmir when it comes to bread. There's not machmir when it comes to other dishes, other types of foods which have salt mixed in. That he's not machmir on. No mayim achrayim. However, there's another entire reason why we wash mayim achrayim, and that is lichluch hayodayim. Before you bench, you recite Birchas Hamazon, the only bracha that's min haTorah, the only one of two brachas that are min haTorah, Birchas Hamazon. It's derech eretz. You should have clean hands, just like when you daven. Before you daven, you're supposed to wash your hands in the tilas yodayim. Okay, we don't make a bracha, but there are shittas to grow. He made a bracha, I believe, when he washed the tilas yodayim for mincha. He made a bracha of al netilas yodayim. So too, when you're about to bench, you should bench with clean hands. How much? Oh, we'll come in a moment. But you should bench with clean hands. So this is why this time the mechayev you to wash bizman hazeh no matter what. Now, if this is the time, how much water do you need? So, and even my machroinim, how much water do you need? So, truth is, you really should require a full measure of water. Go to the sink and you wash like you'd wash negelvas or you wash fasha yotzar. And indeed, the Mishnah Berurah writes very, very strong words. He's very, very disturbed why no one is medaktek in my machroinim to wash the full shear of water. The Mishnah Berurah, if you're a diehard Mishnah Berurah person, you're going to get up from the table, you're going to go to the sink, and you're going to wash my machroinim like you wash negelvasa. El chvoy the benching. And indeed, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says you should do. You should do. And that's what's proper thing to do, especially if you eat with your hands. You have dirty hands. You eat pizza, you have dirty hands. The meluchluch, it's not their cheres to bench with dirty hands. You wash a full-fledged washing with a kois. With a kois, period. However, many of us find ourselves somewhere in the middle. There's two tamim. There is lichluch yodayim, and there is the melach sidaimis. Now, I should take back, there is really a third reason. Before we go to the second, there's a third reason. The third reason is, this is something which we're not shaykh to. We're just starting the Sefer Hasidim, not shaykh to, but it's what it says in the books. It's a gift to the Sitra Achra. What does that mean? A gift? You're about to do now one of the holiest mitzvahs in the Torah. Birchas Hamazon. When you recite Birchas Hamazon, if only we appreciated what Birchas Hamazon is, there wouldn't be a living creature today that wouldn't see to it every single day to wash and eat bread just for the purpose of having an opportunity to recite Birchas Hamazon. We really, unfortunately, we're living in a daze. We have no clue how powerful the koyach of Birchas Hamazon is. It's so powerful that the yetz, that the satan, we don't know, I have no idea what I'm saying now, okay, I'm just telling you what it says in the big books and why we wash my machronim. It's very, very disturbed that a Jew is going to have an opportunity now to wash, to bench, to recite Birchas Hamazon. And the Satan is coming to the table to prevent you from having this opportunity to do this incredibly awesome mitzvah. So it says in these Kabbalah Svarim, which I have no clue, you got to give the Satan a gift. You got to give him a gift. It's the same reason why by a bris milah, where do you put the arla? You put the arla in sand. It's a gift to the satan. It's a purely Kabbalah reason. So you wash your hands in order to give the satan the zuama, is on the tips of your fingers. Let him have what he wants. Throw a bone to the dog. Leave me alone. Here's your bone and you get lost. That is what it's all about. So I've given you three reasons. Number one, melach sedoimis. Number two, your hands are dirty. Number three, the sitra achra, give him a gift, get lost, leave me alone, let me bench, b'kedusha v'tahara. Lemaynaf, what?
So here on Yom Kippur?
Yes, same exact principle as the Kabbalah. We don't know, we have no clue what this means, that you throw, you send the Sola Azazel. Yes.
If someone eating mezonot uga as his meal, 250 gram, half pound, and he should say, I'm Rosian Birkat Amazon. For this Birkat Amazon, you should have my
yes, the answer is yes. And whenever you recite Birkat Amazon, you require Mayim Achronim. Yes. So here is our, so therefore now we have three different reasons. What will be the Nafka Mina? Many Nafka Minas. Number one is how much water. If it's because of Sakana, Melach Sedaimis, or it's because of the Lichluch HaYodayim, you need to wash your hands until your hands are thoroughly clean. If it's because of Kabbalah in Yanim, the smallest amount. Don't give the Satan too much of a gift. You'll get him excited. You give just a small, small amount. Nafka Mina number two. Where do you wash your hands? Can I wash my hands on the floor, or under the table, or should I wash my hands on the sink, or there should be a basin to be mekabel the water? If it's because my hands are dirty, or there's melech sedomis, you can wash on the floor. You can wash on the floor. If it's because the satan, you want to give him a gift, if you don't give him, you don't do it the right way, he's insulted. If you go and you pour the water on the floor, the satan is insulted. What am I, second fiddle? You pour my water on the floor? He's insulted. You have to wash in a kli, in a mechubedik kli, to give him his own. If it's mitam kabbalah, you can't wash on the floor, like you do by Shalosh Shuris and Shul. You got to wash into a utensil. So this is the big nafka mina. So halacha lemaaseh, the best thing, of course, would be to go to the sink and to wash derech with a utensil. And the water goes into the sink. That's honorable. That's fine. Maybe not. Maybe you should go into a basin. Could be. It's more of a comfort for the satan. But on the other hand, too much water is no good. Another nafka mina is, after you wash mayim achim, can you touch your mouth? Oh, so if it's because of lichluch yadayim and melech sedomis, then you can. If it's because of kabbalah in yanim, don't you dare. Don't let that water touch your mouth. You know, that will... These are Kabbalah, it will cause you harm. Okay, halacha l'maisa, what do we do? Halacha l'maisa, most people, they just wash a little bit. They wash a little bit. You wash a little bit, you a little bit, it's pretty much Kabbalah and Yanim. Kabbalah and Yanim. Now here's some Yerushim. Kabbalah, another nafka mina, as you said before. Do you have to wash when you have a mezumon or you have a minyan? What about when you wash, eating b'yichidus? It's fascinating. If it's because of melech sedoimis, or because of, what was the second, melech sedoimis, or lichluch yadayim, of course there's no difference. Whether you're washing, whether you are eating privately, or eating with 10 people, you have to wash your hands. There's a sakana. You may have some salt, might go into your eyes. But if it's Kabbalah, get a load of this. Kabbalah in Yanim, because of the Satan, he is no match for three people. The Satan is no match for a minion. He's blown away. If you're eating with three people and you together say Rabbi Sai Nivarech and you respond Yehi Shem Hashem Nivarech Me'ata V'yad Olam, the Satan is on the first plane out. He's not going to be there to start up with you. Avios, amigo, he's gone. He's out. So you don't need to wash. If you're going to bench with a minion, with a mezumin, and the only reason why you are washing mayim achronim is because of the tam of inyone kabbalah, it doesn't apply because the kedusha is so strong, you don't have to deal with this sitra achra business. Only if you're eating b'yachidus, you're all alone. I'm eating a bread meal all alone. Ooh, I'm all alone. Now I got to be afraid of this. Just me and the satan. Ooh, now you're in trouble. So now you got to go wash the mayim achronim to give him a bone, throw a bone to the satan, who leave you alone, and you are back in business. But again, because of lichluch, because your hands are dirty, or because of the melach stomach, it doesn't make a difference whether you're alone or with your family. So you see over here really three minyan. Now it's also there is one other thing over here. It does this sort of spooky thing, and all these things are very spooky. Holding the mayim achronim is a very bizarre thing. Anyway, that there's something called the shut Shelos Tshuvas Min HaShamayim. Ever hear of that sefer? The Shut, where there was a Talmud Chacham, in ancient times, he sent questions to heaven, and they responded. Okay, telegrams, they responded. So he asked them in Shamayim, is it really Kedai anymore, Bezman HaZeh, we should be Nizhar in Mayim Achroinim? And they sent back, anyone that is lenient in Mayim Achroinim, in Shamayim, they're very lenient in regard to his days and years. In other words, if a person wants to merit Arichas Yamim V'Shanim, the answer from Shamayim was sent back, you should be makbid to do Mayim Achroinim Kedas Uchedin. Listen, this is not for the faint of heart. We're not out of here into Yoni Kabbalah. The bottom line over here is, I think we mentioned all the things I want to talk about Mayim Achroinim. Okay, so the bottom line over here is, there are pretty much three reasons. Let's recap and we'll stop. There are three reasons. Melach Sedoimus. Number two, Lichluch Yodam. Your hands should be clean before you begin Birchas Hamazon. Number three, it's Kabbalah. What are the Nafkaminas? First of all, Bezman HaZeh, there really isn't any more Melach Sedoimus. We don't find it. We're not really concerned. Number two, we don't touch food anymore, Bezman HaZeh. We generally use utensils. So our hands are nearly not so dirty to be concerned about the salt. So that lightens the entire prohibition. That really appears to be the ikkar. The ikkar really appears to be the belach sedoimis, and therefore that will mikra, then we can be mekel. However, if your hands are dirty, no, it's not proper to beg for dirty hands, and then there's inyanei kabbalah, and the nafkaminas are going to be how much water? A lot of water or a small amount of water? Should you wash all the way up to your wrist? If it's inyanei, if derech pshat, yes. Go to the sink and wash all the way, as the Mishnah Berurah says. If it's in Yoni Kabbalah, then just a small amount, adarabah, only a small amount, not a lot, in order not to give too much honor to the Satan. If it's the Satan, then you have to wash into a utensil, but derech kavod. If it's to get your hands clean, who cares? Wash under the table, wash by a sink. What about Nashim? Nashim never touch food. They don't have to do it all together. It's not shayach to them. A minyan, a mezumin, eating alone. These are all of the issues, and obviously, lechatchila, the best thing would to do to get up and to always wash your hands to the wrist, like the Mishnah Berurah says, in honor of Birchas Hamazon. Don't worry so much about the Kabbalah in Yonim. Maybe not, maybe you should. And b'diavad, if you don't do anything, it's also good. These are the basic yisoidos of Mayim Achroinim. Unfortunately, there are two other things I want to talk about another time. I want to go into topics next week about leaving bread over. Very fascinating halacha that when you bench, there always should be on the table crumbs, but not a complete loaf of bread. That you should not do. Only crumbs, not a complete loaf of bread. And then there's an entirely very complicated sugya of if you have wine, and then they bring to the table another bottle of wine, a different brand. You have Rashi wine, and then they bring Tosfos wine. So, what bracha do you make? What bracha do you make? So you make Hatoyva Hametiv. That's a sugya itself for another time. Okay, let's stop it.